8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi everyone, welcome to podcast number 39. And we have a special guest with us. We're very excited about having, we love when we have guests, so we hope you guys are enjoying the guests too. Rex is a very good friend of ours, and we've known him for several years. So I'm just going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Kat and Rex, and you guys just talk about whatever you want.
Well, because it's podcast 39, we're still talking about God's time.
Yes.
And we're going to hear a little bit from Rex about things God has said to him and things that he has encountered, and then I'll share a little bit about that too, because we're in a very important time on the earth. It's never been here before, so stay excited, everybody.
Do you want to explain a little bit who Rex is?
Rex is our on-staff prophet, although he doesn't live here in Florida. He lives in Missouri, and he goes where God sends him, and he brings us words from God and declares over us, and we're very pleased to have him and blessed to have him in our lives and in our in One Quest itself.
Yes. Well, welcome, Rex.
Well, welcome, everybody. I'm excited to be here and be able to do this podcast with everybody here. And one of the things that's been on my heart, and I shared at the meeting this last week, was the keys. And what it is a kingdom key. And I gave the first one to Kat. I was led to give it to her out in Kansas. And the Lord told me just to give a blank key to her. And I thought, okay, a blank key. And after I got one, then he started explaining about it. And how he explained it was that a cut key fits only one lock or maybe two. But a blank key that's not cut could be cut for any lock, making it a master key. Mm-hmm. So we know that Jesus got the keys from the devil. And we see that several places in the Bible where he had got the keys. And it's the keys are mentioned in the Bible several different places. And so what he basically said was we need to have some keys in the natural that refer to what we actually have in the spiritual realm.
That's right.
And so I just tell everybody that get you a blank key, anoint it, pray over it, and declare it for kingdom use.
Amen.
We had that at the conference, didn't we, that we just were at, and it was really powerful just as a testimony. There were some people that were really powerfully affected by the fact that they were handed out.
And I think there was even a gentleman there that was his father was a locksmith?
Yes.
A locksmith.
Yeah,
amazing.
That was amazing.
Yes.
And the event we're talking about is Heaven's Invitation. We just had Heaven's Invitation 2019.
That's right.
Which was titled the
Now Time of God.
Mm-hmm. And so the keys played right into that, and it was it impacted a lot of people.
The keys that Christ took, we know, are the keys of hell, death, and the grave. But it also Jesus talked about the keys to the kingdom.
Yes.
And that they do things. So these keys we're talking about represent things in the spirit, but also represent things that in the spirit will happen in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were you, I'd go to a key place, get you a couple keys. You can even have them stamp with different things on them that you're mm-hmm. waiting or expecting from God.
Yes.
And it will be a powerful declaration to God that you're going to believe in his promises. And it will also be a warning to hell that you are not going to give up and you intend to take back what he has stolen.
Yes.
So let's get this out of the way then, because I know what a lot of people are going to be thinking on the end of the airwaves. Someone sat maybe in the middle of South Africa says, well, do I need one of the keys which Rex has in his possession to make it as important and as valuable as anointed? So answer that question.
You mean if
they
just
need
got
a physical
keys
key
herself?
That Rex has had in his hand.
They don't have to. They can get any keys. They can even get an old key.
Yes.
Okay.
And just say, I cleanse this key for the kingdom. And then they can declare themselves what that key represents for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether
it's
something they're taking back for the enemy or something that God has promised them.
Okay.
And if you can't get it cut by a key cutter, get something and write on it if you can. Or just, if you're somewhere where there aren't any keys, get a piece of wood, a flat piece of wood, and you etch in that wood, mm-hmm. and that piece of wood could represent a key.
Yes.
It does not have to look like an actual key. It's what you're saying to God or what you're warning the enemy that you're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And the Lord kind of gave me a little bit on that. I was questioning, okay, how do we explain this to people that it's just something that you can have that's tangible in the physical. And he said, actually, this is a token. So if you want to really kind of see what it is, look up the definition of token, what token means.
That's right.
And it is just a representative of what something else is. So this is just going to be a representative that you can physically hold and have in your hand that reminds you of what you actually have in the spiritual realm.
That's good.
Wow.
That's a good explanation.
That is a good explanation. And I know, Chris, God had you pass out a picture that you had painted.
I'd happened to have done a key painting a few years before where I'd actually used the same type of keys and I'd stuck them in the painting so they had the shapes in. And it was really helpful to have that because it was like after you'd done that and released it, there was a few people I could go around and give the painting to, and it almost like solidified. So it's not really an object, is it? It's the token. It's the visuals.
Yes.
It's its symbolic meaning, and you're going to build on that a little bit, aren't you? Because you have a vision, which kind of relates into the keys. Maybe you can tell us a bit more about that.
Well, Kat kind of hit on it there just a little bit. There's numerous keys that's in the spiritual realm. She's even seen gates in heaven that has keys for them. There's not any gates locked up there. They're all open and
that's
everything.
Right.
But there's still, God has keys in the spiritual realm that represent places
mm-hmm.
and dimensions and timings. So, you know, we're not talking about anything that he hasn't already got. We've got to realize that you know, the spiritual realm was here before the natural realm.
Yep.
That's right.
So what we have here on this earth, where it's a tree or whatever, it's in heaven. It was there before it was here.
That's right.
So, you know, if heaven has keys, and we can see that, you know, where Jesus talked about it and everything, about the keys to the kingdom, why there's keys there that represent things in heaven, places and different things that is, well, it's natural for us to take a token of that and be able to declare it on this earth that, you know, I'm claiming this in my life. And it just gives you that representation that anytime that you, a tangible something that you can look at and say, I've already claimed this.
That's good.
That's good.
And I wanted to ask, kind of off the subject of the keys, but I know you and Kat both have staffs. And we get a lot of questions about that because Kat uses them in her videos and people don't understand that. You know, they're all like, well, that was the Old Testament. Why do you need one now? You know, so if you both want to share the significance of a staff, and because I know you have four now. So,
are we talking about members of staff?
No, a staff like Moses.
Sorry,
had.
I was just being silly.
A wooden staff. Usually made from, here's a dictionary. A staff, usually made or carved from a piece of wood or from a tree, something that's, in the past people would use them to help themselves walk, and the natural
yes.
they're used for
and
that.
And I know shepherds had them, and that's how they would...
Shepherds
Moses
had them,
had one,
they
right?
had a little rook on the end, they would rescue sheep with them or drag them out of places. So there's many reasons in the natural to have them, but the staffs that we have represent things in the spirit. And you can even look in the Old Testament and see... Even when the Red Sea was parted, even when, you know, Moses had to face the Egyptian magicians and he threw his staff down because they could turn theirs into serpents, and he did too, but his swallowed theirs. So that staff represented the power of God that
yes.
Moses walked in.
So it's like a key, but something you've actually physically holding and kind of doing things with.
It does represent
something. I'm linking
the
two together, you know what I mean?
It does represent something, but they've been used. They're in heaven. People have staffs in heaven. So why not have on earth as it is in heaven? Staffs are used in heaven. Staffs have been used by God many times in the hands of people that listened to him or did things for him. And I carry mine because God said to have them.
Yes.
And I use them for different purposes. And I'll let Rex talk about that.
And that... That's kind of, he brought his staff across to me when first come into our lives about that, and it was when Kat was down in Missouri, the first time she ever come down there and actually was at our locale, which is around Greenfield, Missouri. The Lord told me, had give us assignment, my wife and I, to go around and pray at the capitals. And he just put on my heart that I was to take other people with me. And the way he brought that across was, we had at that time it was a staff or a walking stick. My wife Valerie had actually picked up, and she had used it one time. We put it back in a corner. Well, he prompted me to go get that and have people lay their hands on it. And why to lay hands on it? Everybody has a part in the kingdom, and by laying hands on, you're actually putting your part into that, your anointing that God has given you.
That's right.
Into that piece of object, where it's wood or whatever, that can tangibly be there to take with you somewhere. And that's what he prompted to do. And at that point, I think at that meeting there was probably approximately somewhere around 12 or 15 people at that gathering. And since then, he's had me give the opportunity to others that he points out that he wants. It's not what I want, it's what he wants, and that he wanted them to impart their part into that can actually go someplace with me to go around it.
That's
where
right.
He points me to, wherever he directs me to go, and to declare for him.
And you can pick up anointings.
Yes.
While you're on these trips.
Yes.
And some of it can be from a holy place that God had used on the earth.
Yes.
That area where something significant happened, let's say like if we're at the place where Azusa Street happened, mm-hmm. or other things happened, there's always an impartation left behind by heaven. Mm-hmm. You can actually put your staff on that and receive that same anointing that is there. It can go into your staff and it will build like the glory of God.
Yes. And it's all for purposes, for his purpose of reclaiming the kingdom that Satan had taken from Adam, which we know Jesus already got the kingdom back, but
That's
there is
right.
still things that he wants done. There's still areas of darkness. Well, mm-hmm. he wants people to go in and reclaim that for the kingdom. He wants mm-hmm. areas of light to be developed and increase. So that is a way that he can direct you to, and Kat has spoken, and I, you know, the Lord has spoken to me, and it's not a physical, I don't hear the Lord like Kat does. He speaks to me in the spirit just like he will you. I've not ever heard his voice, and there's a reason. If he wants to speak to me, that's great, but I'm not looking for him to speak to me to go out and do his will, because he's speaking to him in my spirit by his mm-hmm. spirit.
That's right. And actually, that does still happen to me sometimes. He does speak to me many times,
Audibly.
Thank you for that, because you know what, you all, I have just poured myself out at Heaven's invitation,
yeah.
and God didn't stop talking to me since then and show me powerful things. But the thing about the staff is this, that staff is being used by God if you allow
yes.
him to use it.
Yeah.
And these anointings and these things that we collect in different places, holy things, if you take that into a place of darkness, if God tells you to, He's done that with Rex, he's done that with me, and we strike that on the ground and release it, and we give God's command, sometimes that will begin to open a door to retrieve or take back that area of darkness,
mm-hmm.
and it sends things into that darkness and pierces the darkness with the presence of God, because it was in that staff that we carried, and we obeyed him as we were getting stuff in it. So it's not just about carrying a stick around.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
right.
God's purposes for that, and it should be in your life also, and he may do that in a different way with you, but certainly we all have the ability to hear God in our spirit if Christ is in us. So I really want to encourage anybody, you don't have to be me, you don't have to be a
right.
prophet, you don't have to be in the Bible ministry, you just have to have Jesus Christ
yes.
in you.
And be willing.
And be willing.
Willing.
Oh, willing
yeah.
is a big word, because
yes.
sometimes he'll make you step out and do things that just don't make
yes.
any sense to you,
yes.
because God is not man. But both of us have had years, Rex and I both have had years and years of listening to God and obeying God. And as you do that, you're going to be taken to higher places in Christ. He will trust you with more things to do because he knows you're going to obey. But you can start from where you're at right now. Is that true, Rex?
Well, that's correct. Yes, it's been several years. He actually started dealing with me back in 1994, which I'd been away from the Lord for about 20 years. And I have to thank what I consider my spiritual father on this earth, and that's Kenneth Copeland, because he turned me back on to God.
Yeah, Kenneth.
And showed me a lot of things in the Word that I thought I knew, but it was totally different than what he had described, and and I was willing to change. And that's a big aspect if you're willing to change and be teachable and coachable. And it's we need to stick with what we know at the time, but you also have to be open to more revelation or correct
that's
revelation.
Right. That's right.
And so he has stretched me a lot because it's not it wasn't very easy for my flesh to go out and carry a stick up and or walk up and down the street carrying it, because at that time I wasn't that as mature as I am now. I won't say old because I'm not getting old. I'm just getting
that's
more
right.
mature.
That's right.
That's right.
We're going to be timeless.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to go back for just a few minutes ago where you said that he had to go around to the capitals. When he said that he meant all 50 capitals, everybody, he didn't mean just go to a couple capitals of the, you know, the different states in this country. He meant to go to all of them. And he did that more than once. As acts of willingness that God was asking him into a human mind, and went, well, you already went once, why go again? So what is your answer to that, Rex?
it's an assignment. And when once God gives you an assignment, you need to be willing to do until he says, okay, you're done with it.
You're right.
And there's times that there was a time I thought, well, I'm done with this, and he reminded me that I wasn't. And it's ongoing, so I'm not finished with that assignment. I still have times that I still have capitals I need to go to again, and it, I've got some that this will be my third time around. I have been around about 21 of them for the third time. And there is a fourth time to that, which I've been to two for the fourth time.
And there's different things he has you do each time you go.
Yes.
And you know what, people? Sometimes this is the foundation that's being laid for God to come and take a whole state.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because the obedience of people, nobody knows. They don't even know what they did. But out of their obedience, what God was doing in it in the spirit realm was tremendous.
Yes. Yep.
And always in the past, there were people that did these things. Like even before Azusa Street happened, there were things people did in the past that opened the door for those things to happen. So don't think what you're doing is small if God asks you to
That's
do
right.
it.
That's right. And one thing I, that the Holy Spirit reminded me to share was all you need is one word. Because a lot of times that's all he gave me was just one word to step out on, to go. And that's all I went on was just that, to go to the capitals. And that actually he put that in one of our trips when that was going, and actually was going on vacation, and we was actually got into the spirit stronger than I'd ever been. And it's when we was crossing the Mississippi River at St. Louis, and we had some anointed music on by Phil Driscoll, and it was Celebrate America.
Awesome.
And it came on, that album come on, just as was getting on the South Loop around bridge across the Mississippi. And I'll have to give a plug for my wife here, because she made the statement when we got about halfway across the Mississippi that said, ain't this awesome? We're here, we are listening to the mightiest trumpet player in the world, crossing the mightiest river in the U.S., worshiping the mightiest God.
Amen.
And whenever she said that, our whole vehicle just flooded with the Holy Spirit.
Wow, and that's awesome.
It just, I was driving, and it looked like I just tried to describe, and it's hard to describe because the what was happening at that time frame. It's just like driving in a tunnel. All I could see was just like just a square slot ahead of me, because the anointing of God was so strong in the vehicle and everything.
That's awesome.
Awesome. That's awesome. That is awesome.
You shared with us about how God had told you to blow the shofar.
Yes.
Seven times, but you didn't. Can you tell? Because that was a good story. Because this shows how God will get you to do what he asks you to
yes,
do in a roundabout
will.
Yeah.
way.
One of the trips that he directed us to go up to the Washington, D.C., and I knew the places that when we got there, I kind of had, he gave me a little bit of direction. I knew we were supposed to sound a shofar up there. And actually, he had brought a shofar and a ram's horn into our lives, and I've never played an instrument in my life, never blown anything, and I was directed to get this for the very first meeting we'd had out in Kansas, and I tried to get someone, find somebody else that was going to to be able to do that. And finally, I shut up and listened, and Holy Spirit said, "You blow it." And I said, "Well, if I do, it's going to have to be by you, Holy Spirit, for sure." So by faith, I was entered into that, and it's just an act of faith that he got me started blowing the shofar. So anyway, on this trip up to Washington, D.C., I knew that I was supposed to blow it up around the Washington Memorial, and I thought it was just going to be four times. Well, I got up around the Washington Memorial and blew it at the four points, north, south, east, and west, and I was leaving up there, so that was four times at that place. I was leaving there, and as I was walking down, I had it just in my hand, and there's some people that was walking up towards it, said, "Well, what's that you got in your hand?" And I told them, "Well, it was a ram's horn." And they said, "Well, would you blow it for us?" And I said, "Well, yes, I would." And so I blew it. And then they said, "Well, can I take a picture with you blowing it?" I said, "Well, yeah, you can." So I blew it one more time. And then there was a lady that said, "I didn't get a picture of that. Would you blow it one more?" So then I come to realize, and Holy Spirit wanted it blown three times at that location, or seven times at that location. And I'd only done it four. And so he got someone else to come in and actually intervene and get me to blow it another three times.
Yep. He prompted someone. Yes. He had no clue they were being used by the Holy Spirit
right.
to get you to blow it three now, more times.
A lot of times whenever he has me blow it like that, I have no idea what the significance of it is.
Yeah.
It's just I know the time that most of the time I know the sequence I'm supposed to do, like is either three times or six times or seven or 12 or 18. It's been different times at different places. And I just, out of obedience, do that and just leave it to the Holy Spirit for the sound and frequency to come out.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Phil Driscoll said in one of his meetings that he brought across was that everything has frequency in it.
It does, yep.
You know, God is sound. It's not that he has sound, he is sound. So in sound is frequency. So he is frequency. And every object has frequency in it, has movement in it. Even when it's solid, we think it's solid. Well, it's not. There is still movement in the molecules in that object. So whatever the Holy Spirit wants to come out as far as a frequency or a sound, I just leave it to him that's what's going to come out.
So, awesome. So I know this is an odd question, but do you think if there was to be a shofar blown on the podcast or something, I mean, obviously God would have to okay it and you'd have to think it would be okay, but do you think you'd be able to blow it for us on the podcast so that people can listen at home?
Yes.
Do you have it out in the car?
Yes, I do.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause the podcast. I think we're wrapping up in a minute anyway.
Okay.
Kat's going to be back in a second. She's just doing something. So we're going to come back and we're going to wrap up the podcast and blow the shofar. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Actually, I'll bring both of them in, the ram's horn and the shofar itself. And one thing I need to bring out right here is the Jewish people, they use these in worship. And numerous things. They're meant for numerous reasons. There is a sequence of sound that they do use. And I know there's a lot of people that blow the shofar here in the U.S. and have the shofars. They do use that sequence and whatever they're led to. And they're led to do what the Lord's leading them to do. The Lord never hasn't at this point in time directed me to learn that procedure or that sequence of how to do it. And I asked him one time, Lord, do I need to learn how they blow it? And at this point in time, I haven't got a word as to, yes, you need to do that. So I'm just going on with what he's given me, that when I blow it, it's what the Holy Spirit wants to come out.
Wow, okay.
That's awesome.
So we'll be back in one moment.
Hi, everybody. This is Kat. I'm back to share just a little bit about why God has us use the ram's horn or the shofars. And so we're going to let Rex blow them first. The first one will be the ram's horn. Okay, that's a shorter horn. It makes a totally different sound. And many times back even in Israel, they would use the horns to call people to worship, call them to war, There's many different reasons. Now, in this time, we will use it for many different things. Call people to worship, maybe during intercession, when God has spoken a word and made it very powerful. Sometimes they will blow either the ram's horn or the shofar to confirm and validate that that was God speaking, or it's time for something to start. And so now he's going to blow the shofar for you. Now you can tell that sound is a totally different sound. It's a much deeper sound. It carries a lot further. And one of the reasons is that horn is much longer. It's probably three times longer. And it comes from a kudu, which is a form of a gazelle in Africa. And so these make totally different sounds, and yet God, even from the beginning of the tribes in Israel, has used these instruments to call people to many different things or to make statements, and we still do that today. When I see a shofar being blown, that was the last one you heard, I see rainbows shooting out of it. That represents God's presence, God's purposes, and God's plans. And I just saw it again right here in our own office when he did that. The ram's horn. When I see that, I just see like burst of light coming out of it. You know, that could be God's presence again. It could be something that he's announcing or introducing or releasing. So, yes, it's definitely valid. If you want to get one of those, the others, make sure you practice before you actually do it in public. He made it sound very easy, but it's not as easy as you think it is. But don't let that stop you.
Right.
So these are very powerful things. I'll let Rex go ahead and finish.
One of the things I will, if you do get a shofar or ram's horn, make sure you get it from Israel, because they know how to clean them out, how to make the mouthpiece like it ought to be. There's a lot of other places that sell them and do the clean out, but that's the place that I was told, and I didn't know anything about that, but I contacted a man. Actually, the man I contacted, I put a plug in for him, is, and you can find him online, it's a shofar man.
And that's what you look for, the shofar man?
Yes.
And he's right, some of these could have very different sounds or barely any sound if they did not prepare that properly.
Yes.
And there's a lot of other places that just make things that aren't actually legitimately made or officially properly made. And like you said, the ones I have are also made in Israel. And I've been there, and they have so many different beautiful types. Some have gold, things written in gold on it, in Hebrew. Some of them have a case that you can put it in, or a beautiful bag, ornamental bag. And because these are precious things to the people in Israel, they represent the things that God has said, or things that he will say. So I would encourage you in this time, especially more than ever before. That's why we've talked about the staves and the horns
keys.
And the keys. These are things God is almost reintroducing to the earth at this time and in his time, in the now time of God. And so I want to thank you for listening. I'm going to let Rex end and say whatever he wants to.
Just one more thing on the ram's horn and the shofar. Everyone is going to sound different because they're all different. They are living objects that come from a living animal. So none of them grew the same on that animal.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So they're all going to be sound different and have different frequencies in them. And the main thing is just trust God that what's going to come out will be what he wants to come out, the sound and frequency he wants out at that time.
And I would encourage people also to get some oil. It doesn't have to be, you know, it's wonderful to have anointing oil. Or buy bottles of anointing oil. You know, you could get oil yourself. Get olive oil. And if you want to put some of the essential oils in it, like frankincense, like myrrh, you literally can make your own anointing oil, pray over it. And then I would definitely anoint these instruments. They always did that in Israel in the temple. So I would say that could be your act, saying, I'm dedicating this and for the kingdom, for God to use it for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And then his presence will also come out along with the sound.
Well, I've had a great time talking with everyone here, a great time here in Florida, so I'm going home now.
He's going home, and I'll just sit here together. Father, we bless Rex. Yes.
Amen.
And we bless Val.
And we bless Val.
May the host go with them.
May the
host go with him.
I'll receive it.
Woohoo!
Amen. Okay, so that was an amazing podcast with Rex.
Yes, it was. I'm so glad we finally captured it.
I hated ending it, but they had to go. They had a long drive.
They have a long drive, but I do want to add a note about the shofar and the ram's horn, because he did mention this to us.
Yes.
And it might help you make a decision when you buy one. Now, that ram's horn was maybe a foot long, possibly, but that was with it being curved. That shofar was probably 2.5 feet long, and he wanted to give everybody a tip. The longer the horn, whether it's a shofar or
a ram's horn,
the easier it is to blow.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. Because as you're blowing into it, that force of your breath gathers. If there's no immediate outlet for it to just shoot out, then it's going to build up and be a little bit harder for you to continue to blow it. But the ram's horn, when you blow, because it's long, even though it's kind of curved, it immediately is released down that horn. Mm-hmm. So your pressure of you blowing is going to be released immediately down the horn. And also it will sound a little bit different. The shorter one is a little bit harder to blow, but it actually might be a little bit louder because it's a burst. It's not a prolonged release of your breath.
Yeah.
So either one, when we replayed this and I felt that presence of God, we want to know if you had an experience when you've heard those being blown, whether you felt something, heard something, whether it was a presence, whether it was your hair standing up on end, which always happens to me, especially when the shofar is blown. I told you that I see rainbows being released out of the mouth of it. But I still felt the presence of God in that blow. So you need to make sure you listen to that.
Yeah, and if you guys end up by getting one, you know, later on down the road, you can send us some testimonies about what happened, you know.
As you used it.
Mm-hmm. But like she said, if you felt anything when Rex blew both of those, please leave a comment. Let us know.
Because that didn't come from Rex, that came from God.
And it was definitely releasing a frequency. It was very powerful.
That's right.
So
make sure you say I receive it when you blow it.
Okay. Did you want to talk about any upcoming, like we have an event? Well, you know, we're leaving on the cruise in like 2 weeks, people.
In 2 weeks. British Isles. We'll be doing some Facebook Lives. We're going to do some Facebook Lives for y'all, let you know where we're at, what's going on.
Yeah, we may even do a podcast on the cruise.
We may be doing something even completely new.
Yes, completely new. Yay, what does that mean? I do know this. I intend to actually enjoy this cruise because most of them are so much work for me, but I am Irish. I know I'm Irish.
English.
Dutch. Jewish.
English.
And we have a little bit of English in there.
And Welsh.
Yes, my mom is Irish with a dot of Welsh in there.
Well, we get the Irish, English, and Welsh.
And you know, everybody knows my husband's. All his ancestors are in Scotland.
Yes.
And we even know where they're from. Lothian, right across the bridge from Edinburgh in Scotland, is where his whole group is from.
Is that near Glasgow?
No, it is not. I don't think it's from there. Anyway, everybody, we're excited about our trips. We do have our next one here. Our next event right here in Jacksonville, Florida, will be a glory event with Jeff Jansen.
Yay!
And myself. We'll both be tag teaming, I'm sure. It won't matter what
meeting
you come to. It is going to be
wild. It's going to be wild.
They have angels show up. I'm not kidding. They have angels show up. Lightning show up.
Jeff does a fire tunnel.
Jeff does a fire tunnel. It's going to melt you inside and out. We're going to have a powerful time. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a glory event here in Jacksonville, Florida at
New
Covenant Ministries.
Yeah, it's on the website. We are going to have registration for it.
We are going to have registration so we know how many people are coming. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be powerful. So, that will be
August
9th and 10th.
Yes.
And at New Covenant Ministries. And it will be our One Quest event with Jeff Jansen tag teaming with me. You're never going to be the same again.
And I do believe Jeff will probably have like a morning meeting, maybe Saturday.
He may have a morning and an evening.
Yeah.
And then I probably will have an afternoon possibly. But I think one of them, for sure, we're going to tag team.
Yeah.
And you'll never know what's going to happen with that. But I can tell you, it'll never be the same again.
Yeah.
So what I was alluding to when I said about the other things on the cruise was that We are in the process of preparing a mentoring course.
Yes.
And we're going to be doing some fun videos at different places across the world.
That will be part of the mentoring.
Right. Yeah. So we're actually getting that together. So just to plant the seeds in your mind, guys, it's going to be online. It's going to be all sorts of different times of the day. There's going to be interaction with Kat. There's going to be some pre-recorded things. And we're really excited. But just
live
to let you
Q&A
know,
session somewhere yeah. in there.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be smaller groups. So it's going to be very interesting. So keep your ear to the ground. And it will be around soon.
It'll be yep. around soon. It's coming.
So we're excited. And is there anything else that we want to talk about before we officially...
Have a blessed day. Make sure you eat something sweet. Let Jesus know you're a partner with him and his sweetness. I won't call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she's saying
what
this.
What are you eating, Kat?
She's saying, oh no, she's saying this as she's enjoying an eclair over
I'm
here.
And I'm enjoying an eclair, not with whipped cream, but with real custard.
Yes.
I'm preparing myself for...
for what?
For those sweet shops overseas. I've already had some stuff in Scotland, let me tell you what. They have amazing macaroni and cheese.
Oh, I know. You told me about those.
Pies
I want to
that
try
are
those.
Crust wrapped around the best macaroni and cheese you've had in your life.
That sounds amazing.
I'm looking forward to it. And
then
we'll,
I want to
we'll
try.
See you. We'll see you there on the cruise. We'll make sure you see what we're yeah. doing. We'll have some fun things going on. We're going to be very visible to all of you. And I'm looking forward to it. And one day I'm believing that everybody will get to go. You got to believe for it and declare it, okay? Don't just listen and say, oh, I'll never get to go. Do not say those words.
That's right.
You say, I receive it. It's for me too.
You have not because you
ask not. So ask.
And those cruise people, the two cruises that are coming up, they start payment plans like a year out. So it's not even like it's not as big as you think when you actually start doing it.
Yeah.
So
next year we have the Caribbean in February. And then
With Jeff Jansen.
Hey, you're going to get introduced to him. All right. And then we're going to have in
May,
we have the Greek Isles. Wow, the Greece is so
and
beautiful.
And Joanne McFadder is doing
the worship. Oh, there you go. We're getting a call right now from somebody.
Who is it?
It might be heaven calling. I will see you all later. Bye.
Bye.